the Rosman Experience with your host, Rick Rosman. For the past 32 years, Rick has been a well-known name in the world of finance. He continues to follow his passion for volunteering and working with charitable and nonprofit organizations. His dedication to education and the youth of the Los Angeles area knows no bounds. He loves his work and strives every day to make a difference in the world. We invite you into the Rosman Experience to enjoy Rick and his many guests who will be bringing you their stories of philanthropy and volunteerism and introducing you to the many ways you can become involved in your community. It's time for your host, Rick Rosman.
Hey, everybody out there. Can you hear me? Eric, can you hear me?
Rick, are you there? We're sorry, guys. This is the Rick Rosman Experience, and we're having somewhat of technical difficulties, but we'll get the show going for you here soon. So this is the Rick Rosman Experience, and we're celebrating the Super Bowl 2013, and let's see if we can get Rick back in here. And we have Todd Duckett from the NFL. Todd Duckett's going to be on. It's a wonderful show. Rick, are you there? Okay, so I apologize, guys. We're going to go ahead and go to a quick music break here, and we'll be right back with the Rick Rosman Experience here, 2013, Super Bowl Sunday. Hope everybody's enjoying the Super Bowl. So we'll be right back with the Rick Rosman Experience in just a short few here.
Okay, can you hear me at all? Well, yeah, but I'm on my cell phone. I'm not on the other phone. Is that all right? That doesn't matter. All right. We'll take this one. All right. Okay. I'm ready. Okay. Hey, everybody out there. Now that we had our technological glitches on the Rosman Experience, modern day science and technology somehow don't 100% mix. We have an exciting show for you. Yes, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, which means that the greatest teams of the NFC and the AFC are meeting right now as we're having our show. And we have a football theme. Awesome. Jesus. Come in.
Yeah, Rick, you're in. We hear you. You're live and direct.
Okay, here we go. All right.
Here we go. Rosman Experience. Sorry for the technical difficulty, guys. Without further ado, we Rick Rosman at the Rosman Experience. Thank you.
Thank you again, everybody. Again, every week on the Rosman Experience, we bring and highlight somebody special in the nonprofit field. But a little bit about today, and today's a special day with the Super Bowl, and give you a little bit of history about me and how we came to the Rosman Experience in the first place. The Rosman Experience is the genesis of our working in nonprofits, especially out here in L.A. We work with a number of nonprofits. We're involved everywhere you can imagine, and folks came up and said, why don't we do a radio show on philanthropy? And everybody goes, oh, my God, can it be done? You see shows on how to put together a motorcycle. You see shows on storage wars. You see shows on how to invest your money. Why not do one on philanthropy? And so that's what we came up with. Aaron Zulli at Easy Way Broadcasting. You get information, info at Easy Way Broadcasting. We're on his station. It's the Rosman Experience. And my background, I've been at it in the wealth management business for the last 35 years. And we've always been able to get involved and give back and get on board. I'm married. Sheila and I are very active in nonprofits. Sheila and I do marathons this morning. I did the Surf City Marathon out here in beautiful Huntington Beach, California. And our speaker is going to come to you from the other side of the country where there's a chill factor of probably 20 below zero. We live in Redondo Beach, and we enjoy traveling, running, like I said, marathon, and giving back. We're passionate about that. We're on many boards. Our involvement in nonprofits goes everywhere. A.C. Green, the legendary Laker, we're on his board. The Osmuga Foundation, the football player out of the Eagles, we're on his board. The Steps for Education out of L.A., and I'm the new president there, which is a big responsibility, and we do inner-city kids. We give them scholarships to parochial schools, and the CEO of that organization is Rory Brewer, from the president of distribution from Sony. So it's really an interesting place. Right now we have about 300 inner-city kids that are getting scholarships to parochial schools in order for them to get to a situation where they're very, very doing very well in school, and, of course, the expectation is on to college and making a contribution back. I'm on the Cecil Murray Center for Social Engagement Board. Now, the Reverend Cecil Murray, Chip Murray, many of our listeners may do Google on him. Chip Murray ran First AME for years out of South Central. He's the voice of South Central. He's the voice, he's the heart and soul of South Central. Pastor who really took First AME to great heights, as well as involved in huge amount of civil rights work. Honored to be on his board. And by the way, Reverend Murray now teaches at USC, and his social engagement organization is about making a difference in the South Central area, making a difference in the inner city. We work with the Union Rescue Mission, Long Beach Miller Children's, Children's Cancer Program, South Bay Healthcare, where folks who don't have the money are able to get health care, quality health care, without cost. We're on the Scott, and we'd work with the Scott Newman Foundation. That was where actor Paul Newman's son had a drug issue, and out of that came the Scott Newman Foundation, where we actually take families that are affected by drugs up to a camp where there's total, complete, how do I phrase it, education, therapy, you name it, about how to bring that family back to healing in regards to treatment and drug modalities. It is really outstanding. ShareFest is out here in the South Bay, where because the school budgets are shot, everything is shot out, and I know it's that way across America. ShareFest will get involved and help out schools, beautify schools, paint the schools, as well as they've got a great program, and they've done it. We've worked with Avalon High School, which has had some history of being a challenge school. Avalon, they were able to increase the test scores quite dramatically. Do a Google on ShareFest. Chad Meyer has been a guest on the show. And something that's very dear to my heart, we work with Jefferson High School. Jefferson High School is a typical inner-city school that has issues. And when people sit around and say, okay, what can I do? And that's the whole purpose of this program, is what can the listeners do? What can I do? here's something that had to do with Jefferson. Last week I highlighted an example of Jefferson, and this week I'm going to highlight an example with Jefferson again. This is really, really incredible what we're doing. Jefferson High School is a challenged inner city school. I'm on their advisory committee. We work with them and have done a number of programs with them. But here's one. USC, University of Southern California, is also in the inner city. And we brought up is, has Jefferson ever reached out to USC? USC has, you know, education, engineering, science, athletics, you name it. And the resources are 6 miles away from Jefferson. We set up a meeting with some of the folks at USC and the Jefferson principal, and we've agreed upon some things where we're going to work together. It is outstanding when you look at that. A little step of just setting up a meeting, how it can make a difference. Anybody can do it. Anybody who just takes the time and effort. But I'm coming to you today on the Easy Way Broadcasting on the Rosman Experience. Our show is on 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock every Sunday, regardless of whether there's a Super Bowl, or regardless of anything. We have an incredible lineup today. We motivate people to give time, talent, and treasure. And that's what it's about. We do not charge, and there's no commercials here. The company I work for, we don't mention the name. So there's no commercials on our side. We don't charge the nonprofit and the individual from the nonprofit to come on board. We don't. We have a great, great, great guest here today, very much in line with what's the Super Bowl. But where we're coming from, we live in the most economic, challenging times, and there's so many of us who don't have to worry, and there's people out there that are suffering. And the challenge that we have in the show is that we get folks off the couch. Here we have 2013, and how many people made their goals and dreams? They wrote them down. All right, and what do? You write your goals and dreams down. This is the year I'm going to help the homeless guy. This is the old lady. This is the year I'm going to mentor a kid. This is the year I'm going to visit an old folks home, something as simple as that. Do you know how many the parts of our society, people who have retired, do you know how many of them are lonely in those senior citizen centers that get no visitors? That could be you. Do you know how many inner city kids, and I'll name this, Union Rescue Mission, which is a charity that Sheila and I support wholeheartedly. Union Rescue Mission downtown L.A. right now is almost 100 kids. 100 kids live there, and they go to school from there. Now, we think the Union Rescue Mission was only set up to get people through programs and turn their lives around. With the recession, we're seeing intact families show up, or moms with kids, or dads with kids, and the school bus shows up and picks these kids up in the morning. How many people could go down to the Union Rescue Mission, if you're here in L.A., and go make a difference? How many people could do that? In the sound of our radio voice, anybody could. It's just a matter of motivating our listeners, motivating folks to maybe get off the couch and go out. And believe me, when you get back, you have no idea how good you're going to feel. The endorphins are going to come out, and you will feel good. What's our legacy? Somebody told me that the legacy is probably the most important thing that we should have. When you look at your legacy, what is it going to be? Is the planet better off because you passed through here? Is the planet better off because of the time that you were here? Or is the planet, how do I phrase it? Or, just leave it or. And the job and the mandate and the mission of the Rosman Experience on EasyWayBroadcasting.com is to highlight, and now we're going to introduce our guest, but just to highlight folks in the nonprofit field. Some of them are unsung heroes, some of them are famous. As you know, we've had some great, great guests on the show, and some of them will tell a story that is so poignant, and you're going to sit back and say, I can do that. If he can do that or she can do that, I can do that. Now I'm going to go into the introduction. You won't believe, who we have on as our guest. Legendary football player Todd Duckett. Todd Duckett came out of Michigan State, played in the NFL for almost 9 years, and through some transformation, and he's going to address it, his life right now is one of giving back. His charity is called Flood of Opportunities. Now, when you have a flood of opportunities, or basically New World Flood, it's created to have a flood of opportunities out there in giving back. You know, Todd was a first-round draft pick out of in 1991 or 92. I hope I got that right. He's known as one of the big backs in the NFL. Looked like a guy who got the job done. If you needed a goal line score, you gave it to Todd. And he was at the top of his game for so many years, where football was his life. And that's where the tie-in today is with the Super Bowl. Now, if Todd can get involved and start giving back, can you think about what the rest of us can do? So with that, on the Rosman Experience today, I would like to bring on the legendary halfback out of Michigan State, played in the NFL, known as one who got the job done and scored touchdowns, Todd Duckett. Welcome to the show.
What's up? How you doing?
Hey, great. Great.
How's Todd, everything? Todd, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Todd, we're so glad we have you. Today's a football game, and right now the game is on, and I don't even, my wife took the game away from me on the TV. She said if I can't mess up my show, so I don't even know the score. But Todd, you right now, first of all, folks, Todd's in Michigan, where it's probably minus what's the temperature today?
Yeah, I think it was about 15 degrees. It's a little cold out this way.
Okay. And out here in California, it's 70. I met Todd and over the last few days and got a chance to talk to him. And, Todd, why don't you go through the story you shared with me about transition? Or, first of all, you want to talk about your NFL experience. I mean, it's NFL day. We have a long time. But then talk about the transition into New World Flood.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. And appreciate you having me on here. Eric, appreciate it. Where can I start? I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan, born and raised. I played football all my life. My parents raised me well. They separated when I was three, but my father was still active. And make a long story short, I graduated high school with a 3.3 GPA, and I was one of the top recruits football in the country. And I had a chance to go to Michigan State on a scholarship. I actually took an official visit to UCLA my senior year in high school, which was 99. And almost went to school there, but that whole glitz and glamour lifestyle wasn't me. I was looking for more of the college dorm life that you saw on TV. And when I took a visit out there, I couldn't believe I feel like I missed something. I skipped a level or something. So then I went to Michigan State, and I initially was a linebacker. And halfway through the season, they switched me from linebacker to running back, and played running back for the next 2 years, left as a junior. I was drafted 18th overall by the Atlanta Falcons, played there for about 4 or 5 years, went to Washington for a year, went to Detroit for a year, and then went to Seattle. And that pretty much sums up 29 years of my life. And from there, I went to Seattle, and I got cut. And once I got cut from Seattle, I went back home. And at 29 years old, I went into a depression, and during this depression, I completely lost everything that I thought I was, who I was. I didn't know who T.J. Duckett was. I didn't know who that person was. And then throughout my journey, I started looking inside and seeking spirituality, seeking religion, and really getting strong to figure out who I was. And in those moments, I believed I was way more than a football player. I believed that there was a reason for me to be on this planet rather than just to play a game. And I had to figure out what that was, the reasoning. And in that time, I studied what a lot of great leaders in the world, they did in ways that they achieved more after suffering adversity, what they did. And a commonality of a bunch of the spiritual leaders that I followed is they all went on a fast. So in turn, I went on a 40-day fast of just water. And during that time, I changed a lot of my ways. A lot of friends I used to hang out with, I didn't. A lot of places I used to go, I didn't go there anymore. And I also lost like 80 pounds. So I was down to about 190 pounds. Now, mind you, I spent 29 years, I was about 260 at the time. I spent 29 years building up this football NFL frame. And in 40 days, I completely wiped all that away. And so to be in living in a world, you look at the image in the mirror, and I didn't even recognize who that person was. I was skinny. I just didn't even know who I was. So it gave me a great chance to recreate myself. So in that time, when I was playing, I went by TJ Duckett. That's really what I went by my whole entire life. But my name is Todd Jeffrey, and I started going by Todd because the name my mother gave me, and I never really used it. As I started to come out of this fast, the whole new world opened up to me, and that leads into the name of the foundation, which is New World Flood. But a whole new world opened up to me that I had no idea existed. I just didn't see it. And now trying to figure out time to figure out what to fill my time with. And it's funny how you started to mention the rescue mission, because I was driving in the street one day, and I got this big beard. And when I was going through my depression coming out of it, I was driving, and I stopped at a rescue mission. And we're in Michigan, and this is January, so I'm all bundled up, big beard. And the lady at the rescue mission, the city rescue mission, she opens the door and says, "Can I help you?" And I'm like, "Nah, I'm actually here to volunteer." And she's like, "Sir, are you sure? Are you okay?" And I'm really here. And I went and I started to volunteer with them. And one day, I'll never forget, it was 12:09, and I was at the rescue mission. I was sitting on the floor, and I was with a guy named Russ who worked at the rescue mission. And I was writing 12:09 on Kraft cheese and macaroni boxes, you know, the food that people brought to donate. I'm writing 12:09. And writing 12:09, all of a sudden I just got overwhelmed with emotion. I started crying, and in that moment, that was the most joy that I – that's why I learned the word joy, too, by the way. But okay. That was the most joy that I experienced, because I was doing just – I was giving of my time, I was giving of myself, and it really hit me deep. And here a few months ago, a year or so ago, I was on the Seattle Seahawks locker room on their new floor, $70 million building with friends making well over six figures. And a year or so later, I'm on a rescue mission for a homeless with men and women and with nothing. And I'm at the happiest I had been.
Wow.
So, in that moment, I also got caught. I got contagious of the giving bug. I'm hanging around doors, holding doors open, because you can do anything to give. So I'm holding doors open. I'm carrying groceries to people's cars. I mean, I'm doing all this random stuff because football did provide the opportunity to do those things. And once I realized that is what I wanted to do, that was my mission, then I realized each individual time I did something, it would change a life or it changed the way I felt. And every time I did or conversated with someone else, they would always be motivated to go do something. And so that changed the name to New World Flood, flooding the world through giving and service, a single raindrop at the start of a flood. But you have to either know exactly who you are or believe who you are, or be willing to make that one act of kindness that will spark a flood that changes the whole environment, community, town, family, whatever you choose. So after I started doing all that, creating this New World Flood, we started being able to be blessed to do a lot more and to really help a lot of other charities and give them voices and to strengthen the things that they do. So that's kind of a lot of it, real quick, fast, and to the point.
Todd, let me ask you about that.
that spiritual journey of a fast for 40 days of water
yeah.
only. Were you under doctor's care, or did you just wing it? Or I mean, how did you get
yeah.
to the conclusion? Yeah.
I mean, I really just winged it. I mean, it was. I was in a dark moment, and I was really trying to find who I was and what I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And you mentioned legacy, and there's got to be more. And to have a football mentality and have all that drive and work ethic and discipline and commitment, and then have nowhere to put it. Why did God teach me this? Why did He teach me this so early in life? And not only did He teach me it, but I was able to excel in it. So why? And then, I mean, I went back to what my mother always taught me. And my mother, she actually passed in 2000 from cancer. That's a whole nother story I can share with you, too, at a time. But that's a whole nother. She kept it secret for a while. She's a special ed teacher. It's a crazy story. But going back and just hearing what she said, she's not around anymore. I'm 29 years old. She's been gone for about 9 years. What would she always tell me? And she always told me, whenever times get tough, to dig into your faith, to believe, to read your Bible, to really just dig into it. And I did. And when I started to do that, I started studying biblical characters and people in history the same way I was studying running backs, Walter Payton, Jerome Bettis, the same way I was putting the time and effort into this game, the sport. Why can I not do that into the people who made the world, who really influenced it? Why would I not do that? So doing that, I realized the 40-day fast was a commonality that would really push it. That's pushing the limit. And for a sport, some of the things that Walter Payton, some of the hills he'd run, some of the things coaches tell you to do, just some of the demands on your body that you're forced to do, I mean, you feel like you're going to die anyway, and you purposely do it. So why would you not put your life on the line for, if you believe you have something to give to the world, why not put your life on the line for it and see what your faith is really about and really dig deep? I mean, you have a workout, and you tend to be under doctor's orders, but you still go bench press 400, 500 pounds. You still do it. So why would I not do this? Why would I not do that? And understand where the strength comes from, and understand it's not about a physical game anymore. I did that for the first half. And so that's kind of how that unfolded, and seeing the way that I could compete with myself. I mean, to be able to have everything that I've ever wanted from a game, and then to consciously, purposefully take it all away, to me, that made it a lot. And even the statement where you said how the Super Bowl's on and people aren't watching it, we chose to do this. It's not something that we're forced. We chose to do this interview, so ultimately that's what we chose. And that's how I, for that, I could eat, and I got $5 in my pocket, and you won't even know if I go to get fast food or anything. You won't even know what I'm doing. So I have to be between me and my maker. And to me, that's what the 40 days really would push it. And again, I mean, I was 260. I mean, I don't recommend doing it. I'm not saying go do it. I say make sure you understand, read. That's a lot of research.
Right.
And I mean,
right.
You got to build your faith and understand what you're getting into. But, that's how I got through it. That's
it
how
sounds-
I did it.
You brought up getting cut. You brought up the depression. Football was your life. Football was you talk about the workouts. I mean, I read the legendary, what Jerry Rice used to run up and down the hills of San Francisco every single day, no matter what.
Yep.
I heard the workout that you mentioned, Walter Payton. I heard what he put himself through. We all know Michael Jordan would spend 5 hours a day on free throws.
Yep.
And Kobe would spend hours a day on his jump shot. And so we look on TV and we go, oh, these guys are just talented. The work that goes into it is unbelievable. So you had all of that discipline, everything else, and then one day the cut comes, you go through your depression, and now you come out of it on the other side, and you're such a person who's giving back to so many things. We do have a caller in. I'm going to wait for a minute for the call. But you have so many people who, I mean, you've got so many things that you're involved in. Can you tell just a little bit what the foundation, what is going on in New World Flood today?
Yeah.
The projects, I mean, when I listened to you, you know, I thought I was busy. I go, you've got more projects going than Carter has filled. It's amazing.
Yeah, I got a little bit. But I mean, I also got an amazing team. You know what I'm saying? I got some great people who are around me. But we have a lot going on. Where can I start? We go to schools. We do inspirational speaking to students about volunteering, the importance of volunteering and giving and service. We go to, and let me, if I can back up and make a comment about the depression that you made. One thing I learned on my journey is it's not about just a football thing. It's about, you got to go to the core and essence of a person, of what feelings and emotions are, and understand that. And I realized football was the love of my life, just like someone is married or has a job or has a child or has a favorite couch, has any of that.
Sure.
And
right.
Anytime something, one of that's removed, you're going to go through something. And I realized that it's not – people, CEOs go through this, husbands
yes.
and wives
oh, yes.
go through this,
yes.
kids go through this, bus drivers go through this, everybody goes through this, and mine just, this happened to be my route, and when I understood that, that's when I was able to have better conversations with people, and my compassion raised, empathy raised, and so when I'm giving and serving, I could be in that same dark place that they were, even though that I didn't experience whatever their trial was.
Mm-hmm.
I could be there because the emotions, the anguish, the pain, all that, the loss, I understood what that was when I thought I lost my love. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So
football defined you. That was it.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It would be like you mentioned the CEO who loses his job or the guy who's married for 50 years and his wife passes or the lady and the wife and the husband passes. That's their definition of life, and they go through that. So it's, I can understand the similarity. Good point, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. Now think about this. As a kid, it's like a kid having a blanket and they take the blanket away. You understand?
Yeah,
now,
right.
If the kid never learns a way to recover from that blanket being taken, when they get older and the same thing happens, they'll react in a childish form because that's what they understand. That's why we revert to whatever it was. Because a lot of guys, speaking NFL purposely, you've been successful your whole life, and then at like 30, you hit a wall. And that's usually the first time you've ever experienced some type of adversity that you weren't trained for. Before, you'd hit adversity and go to the gym and work out or whatever your vice was, whatever helped you get through it. Now you have to change your world completely. And that's where a lot of guys don't understand, and that's where the maturity level comes out. Yes, they're mature in one area, but sometimes another area is what really affects them. And that's people all the way around. And
right.
Whenever you feel success, you're going to revert back to that childhood way you handled it, and it's magnified as the older you get. These type of conversations, this is where I go when I talk to high school kids about. You know what I mean? I get their attention with football, but you see we only talked about it for like 5 minutes, and I breezed through
it. Exactly.
I mean, these kids, they were too young to even understand I played. But
yes.
I can talk to them at that level, and when you talk to them there and then you say now you're able to give and serve and help, that's a great way to really help. That's what we do at New World Flood. But then the next thing is we go out and we demonstrate it and we show you. We don't just talk it, but we be about it. And we give them opportunities to do those things. And one of the things that we do is I grow my beard out to raise money for cancer research and a cancer organization here in town. And then I'll get these high school students to grow their hair out with me. Now, if you understand high school and you understand that's an all image thing, then to be 15, 16, 17 years old and having cut your hair in 3 months in high school, that's a big deal. Big deal.
Yes, it is.
So, and the thing is with that, what I explained to them too is all you're doing is waking up. All you're doing is waking up. So by waking up, you have a purpose here. No matter.
Yes.
You just woke up, you have a purpose. And by growing your hair out, you're fulfilling that if that's what your heart is into. Now, once you've built that base and all I did was grow my hair out and wash it, now I can do more. I can grow my hair out and open the door every day. You know what I'm saying?
That's kind of
a way we try to present something tangible instantly. Then we say,
Todd, the charity that you do that for, isn't that the one that you shave your beard or you shave your hair and you raise money for cancer research, for usually it's pediatric cancer. Isn't that correct?
I used to, when I played in the NFL, I did it for St. Baldrick's Day for like 6 years. Once I stopped playing, I started volunteering in the city. And there's some organizations here that people don't know and aren't able to get to. So I started raising money for those organizations. You see what I'm saying? Because if I go out and I can raise 30, 40 grand, that's some organization's whole year budget, if not 2 year budget.
All right, I'm going to lay it out there. When's the next time you're going to cut your hair, and can you send us a link about how to get involved? I mean, send it through Eric at the Easy Way Broadcasting, and we'll make sure that we get the word out to support Todd Duckett's shaving, and maybe we'll help you raise some money for some of those wonderful programs there in Detroit.
Totally.
Todd, we do have a couple of speakers. So, Eric, why don't you bring in 3711, can you say your name and the question you have for Todd?
Hi, my name is Ann Hargrove.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
Hey, Ann. How you doing?
I'm good. I just want to say what an exciting show. This is the first time I've actually listened in and called in, but the energy is incredible. It's whoever thought this up, it's a great idea. I was just saying to a friend the other day that the shows on TV are so negative, it just drains you. Let's hear about the good things that people are doing. And here we've got a star who just is making that secondary in your life, apparently. And you're doing great work. You're just doing great work, and it's very inspirational.
Well,
thank you. Wow.
And I wanted to
go ahead and ask you any questions for Todd, Ann?
The question is, what would you suggest to young people to get their priorities straight? I mean, everybody wants to be rich. Everybody wants to be educated. Everybody wants to be good looking. How can you inspire them, other than by your great example, have great priorities and have a balance of what's really important in life?
Yeah, I can answer it two ways, and I'm just going to be quite honest with you. You're competing with a lot of distractions that it's hard to really zero in on positive, because there is a lot of things that are pulling their mind away. But you got to figure out how to make it cool. That's kind of easy. You just got to figure out whatever it is, you got to make it cool, because you have to meet them at their level. Now, when you meet them at their level, it's going to be brand new because you're swimming upstream. It's going to be different. So it's going to take a little work, and you're going to have yourself together and have you are going to have to be strong enough to be able to fight through exactly what that young man or young woman's going through. And when you're able to do that, now you lead by example. Now you are walking, talking with them, and you pick up trash. Just you're walking and talking. It's your lifestyle. That's how you live. You're just doing it. Now, they'll start to respect that because you do it all the time. That's how you do it, but that's you. And if you can't really be truly who you are, then they're not going to respect it, because kids are some of the greatest, especially young adults, are some of the greatest at reading people and seeing if you're genuine or seeing if you're fake. And if you're fake, they are not – they're going to do exactly the opposite, because that's what kids do. That's their job. So, really, you have to just meet them at their head and be genuinely you. If you're a giver and a crier, then give and cry and be you, and can't be mad. Be like, I apologize for crying. No, don't apologize. That's you. And that's what we're not – that's really, to me, that's the only thing we're lacking with these young adults and young men and women, is we're not being honest when we are giving and serving. And the people who do give and serve, they're not being put in an environment to really shine and really show the youth. You go in schools and there's who's the best philanthropy or what organization in the community, let's give them a mural on the wall. Let's give them a showcase. Stuff like that.
That's so important. And I just want to thank you, gentlemen, because, I mean, you are the people that are making a difference in probably hundreds of thousands of lives. You know, they're the people that are suffering, the underprivileged, the homeless, the kids that don't have the opportunity for an education. You and Mr. Rosman are making a difference, and I have to thank you. And I know that, you guys are giving to a lot of causes. You're donating your time. You're donating money. I've heard a lot about Mr. Rosman. It's really, I just hope to
meet him. It's all untrue. It's all untrue.
Nothing but good. And I just, you know, what happened with you, Mr. Rosman? Were you born this way, or was there a big life-changing experience for you?
We all have, I think, to Todd's point, there's a dark night of the soul. At one time, I was going to be a Trappist monk, so that gives you an idea where my life was somewhat introspective anyway. And sometimes I wonder whether that was a path that I should have pursued. But you know what? I'm 60 now. You can't go back. But to Todd's point, we go through life when we think we're on top of the world, and all of a sudden, it took me. Yes, my parents gave back. My parents took us to the Union Rescue Mission and all that. But all of a sudden, you kiss concrete. You find out what you thought was so important, whether the bank account, the trips, you know, the education for the kids and all that, which was in the house. All of a sudden, when you lose all the perspective, and you see something out there, whether it's a homeless person who just fell down, or an alcoholic, a wino, or something that we all look down upon, and we just go, wow, who's going to help that person? And there's organizations out there, like I'm sure Todd's involved. Out here they're involved. Pam, it's everywhere. And I'm sure you're – Pam, I bet you 10 to 1 if we ask you. I don't want to embarrass you, but I bet you're involved in a number of organizations too in somehow, some way. I know that the people who call the show give back both time, talent, and treasure. Am I not right on that?
Well, I'm not doing enough. But you gentlemen really inspired me to get more active, because I know when I have done fundraising, it was one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. So it really, people think, oh, don't volunteer for anything. That is not true, because you will find it is such a gift to be able to participate.
Yeah. Well, we just challenged Todd. He's going to send us the link about his shaving of his beard for those organizations back there. And Easy Way Broadcasting, we'll make sure that gets out to everybody. So and make sure that you look on the station, and you'll see how to support Todd and what he's up to. And let's face it, Detroit, I imagine, Todd, and I know you'll reach out all over the place, but I imagine the challenges there are probably higher than they are in many other cities. Am I not right?
The challenges are higher there, but there is no challenge, there is no problem that's greater than the next problem, no matter where you're from or the environment. And that being said, each Detroit, I actually live in Lansing. We live in the capital. Okay. But Detroit, actually, I mean, there's somebody there who's shining. There's somebody there who could use a word. I mean, and that's what it is. I mean, every community has somebody. They do. Mm-hmm. And it's their job to define themselves and be that person. It's their job to say, I'm tired of this, or I want more. That's what they have to do. And if they do that, then that's what we call a flood of giving and service has started.
Yes, yes. By the way, Anne, are you still on or are you off?
It's contagious, isn't it? It's contagious. And I want to say that Easy Way Broadcasting is, I'm very impressed, and I hope to see a lot more of it, hear a lot more of it.
Well, next week, Anne, at the end of the show, we'll have who our speakers on for next week, so we'll please listen in, and thank you so much for calling, and thank you for your wonderful work. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for all you're doing. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Now, Todd, why don't we talk about, you're involved in so many things right now, and projects need time, talent, and treasure.
Yes.
So what are you doing to you know, to get the volunteers? What are you doing to get the talented volunteers? Because probably in your backyard, there's a pool of retired folks that are, whether they're engineers, accountants, or whatever, or educators, who could probably get off the couch and come down. And then what are you doing about the treasure part of it? And in regards to that, that's a long swath of questions, but go ahead and tell us what you're doing.
Well, what we're doing is actually close to our organization. It's about five of us, and we're the kind of the driving force, and we're busy. Yes, we have. There's a lot that we have going on, and luckily, I was able to play football for a few years and make a couple dollars to start this, and I'm actually funding this right now. I know it's not something that I can do forever to keep it sustainable, and that's really what we're working on now, is how to do that and how can we continue to keep it going. But I mean, I to be honest with you, this whole thing started off of passion. I wasn't thinking about anything. I just saw people in need, and I had to do something. And by doing that, I took caution into the wind. And if you believe, you believe. If you have faith, you're going to do things. You are. And that's part of what I've done. And to do what I've done now, it's about make sure you're efficient with your time, because you get so much time. Now make sure you're efficient, making contacts, trying to find people who are interested in same things you're involved in, trying to partner and get grants written together, trying to find other organizations. Because the one thing I did learn is, even though I reached the high level of the NFL in the volunteering nonprofit world, I'm like a rocket football peewee player. I'm just getting started. So I'm nowhere near what my credentials are in this environment. You know what I'm saying? So I'm the young nonprofit guy, and I got a couple people, and we're doing our what we can do to save the world. And I just happen to have an NFL background, save some money, and this is what I'm investing in. And now we're just gonna grow. I mean, that's really, we've been doing it for about 2 years now. And that's what it is. We have a school in Arusha, Tanzania, about 100 kids, about 15 teachers, employees there, and took a trip over there. There's need. What can we do? I choose that city, and I'm going to do my job for that city and that continent, like I'm doing for the city I'm in this continent. And as the team grows, hopefully we do other cities, other places, other people. And that's, again, I love this show, because it gives people a chance to see what that's about, to see what places are going. Because, I mean, for example, people go on YouTube to see who has the most hits for entertainment, right? What if we could go on YouTube and see who had the most videos for volunteering? Do we even look for stuff like that? Do we care? Yeah. I don't know. And this is stuff I don't know. But I'm just saying, let's give the youth something to strive for. Let's see who can do the best volunteer activity. Let's see who can get the most volunteers in a 24-hour period. Stuff like that, and give them tangible goals, rather than just saying, in 4 years you can get an NFL contract or sign a movie deal, music deal, whatever that may be, or give them a different alternatives.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, folks, if anybody has anything, comments, or wants to talk to Todd, called 914-338-1303 on the Rosman Experience on EasyWayBroadcasting.com. We do have a speaker on 5406. Go ahead. Who are you, and where are you from?
Hi, Rick. I've heard your show before, and inspirational. And, you know, Todd, I give both you guys credit for taking your afternoon. There's supposed to be a football game on today that everybody's talking about.
That would I hear.
I don't know if you guys are doing the show and kind of looking up and.
Jim, Sheila, my wife, she took the TV away because she didn't want me to make a mistake and start mixing names up and things like that. So anyway, there you go.
Yeah, well, it's great, you know. And Todd, it's like what I hear from Rick, and there was a priest one time giving a sermon, and he said, he gave a sermon, and the next week he went there, and he he gave a sermon again, but it was the same one. And and then the people, you know, the elders were starting to talk. Well, he went there the third week, and he gave the same sermon, and they're starting to, we better ask him what's going on. And he told them, he said, yeah, I'm going to keep repeating the same sermon until it gets through to everybody. And what you guys are doing, it takes sometimes a lot of repetition before it sinks into people. And you keep thinking like, well, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go out and do that. And all of a sudden you're in your 60s. And the time, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the time does seem to go a little faster when you get older.
It does. I'm there. The time, we're old enough. I don't know, Todd, I'm old enough to be your grandfather, so there you go.
Todd, how was the transition period when you're going along, you're out in the field, and it, like so many people that I have been over the years in that situation, and all of a sudden, you know, you go from everybody running up and congratulating you on the game to the transition in life where you're not doing that anymore. Was that kind of a shock when you woke up in the morning?
I'm not going to say that was, because I mean I'm a very humble guy, it's a blessing that anyone wants to even come and ask for your handwriting. Why would they want a signature? You know what I'm saying? And to be in that spotlight, that's humbling in itself. So that really wasn't the hard part. The transition, though, for me was as I was playing in the league. I mean, there's a lot of guys who, I mean, they get released and then they like spend the whole off season trying to work out, and then they get picked up in training camp and don't make the team and spend the whole season. They kind of go through that pattern. And the more years that I played, I pretty much vowed to myself I wasn't going to be that guy. When it was time to go, I'm going to know when it's time to go. Mm-hmm. And I took I worked out at a Giants training facility, and I was trying out one day, and it was guys who were like 8-9 years younger than me, and they're talking about just growing up watching me. And in that moment, I realized I'm competing with why am I here? I'm not – there must be more. And that was my transfer. I didn't know what was going to be next. At all. No clue. My brother and I, we own a janitorial supplies company, and I'm thinking, well, I can go there and that will be my job and that will be where I'll work. But that didn't satisfy what I needed for the next over there either. So the transition came, and what do you do with your time? You can start any business you want. You can take vacation, whatever you want to do. You can eat. You can do now, but that's not fulfilling you. And that's when I went through my fast, and I just realized it's the time that you have, and maybe it is when you get older, you value time more, and that's why it moves faster, because it's not about dollars and cents. It's about you actually exchanging energy, having quality time, fellowshipping with somebody or some craft or something you're passionate about. That's what it's really about.
Right, yeah, it's... Like I heard one time someone said, if you want to give God a laugh, tell him your plans.
Totally.
Totally.
That's it. Yeah. I agree.
No, you know, you could have went a different route, whatever, but I think it is very rewarding for people that give. As you give, you'll receive. But, you know, the thing is, when you talk to one of the kids or your word gets out to many of them, you're changing lives, because those thoughts and actions you give them, it might be a great transition in their life, and then it just goes on and on. So it's a meaningful thing.
Well, you make them know it's possible. You give them an idea that it's even possible.
Right.
I use this analogy a lot, but when I was playing when I was a kid, I always wanted to be an NFL player. I thought I want to be an NFL player. I mean, that's my job. I'll be able to have touchdowns. I'll be able to have money. I want to be a player. But why did I never think about being the owner of the team? I never envisioned that. Not one time. Never envisioned it. So when I got to the NFL, I reached what I wanted to. I reached my pinnacle, my zenith, and I was done. I'm good. I'm here. Yeah. Now, if I was smart, or not smart, if I knew, if I was aware, I would have thought, well, I can be a CEO of the team. I could own it. Now, I got access to the secretaries. I got access to all the people in the organization that the common everyday person doesn't. And I could go and I could really learn what it means to be a CEO of a football. I can meet with his secretary and say, what's the day like? And I could be educating myself daily like that, but after practice, after the workout, after everything was done, I'm like, I got to go home and be by myself because I don't want to talk to nobody. What is that? You know what I'm saying? That's what you don't see. And some guys do, some guys don't, but that's not a common thought. At least for me, it wasn't until now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The expanding mind, huh?
What's that?
The expanding mind. I mean, you know, it's like the smarter you get, the more that you realize that you don't know, you know?
That's
totally.
Right, Jim. That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
That's it. That's it.
And you know, and when we get to the point where we realize that, hey, we could learn something from some 16-year-old kid that's talking to us. I mean, you know,
exactly.
We could get it from anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much, guys, and
Jim,
God bless
you
for the work you're doing, you know?
Yeah. Good. We've got another caller on 3711. Okay, or 3080. Okay.
3080.
Hi. Hi, who do we have, and your name, and what's the question? Hello? Okay. Eric, I don't think they're there. All right, go to, okay. We cut everybody off.
No, the caller dropped, Rick. Sorry.
Okay, call dropped. Okay. Okay, now, if you had the best world, is Todd still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
Okay, all right, Todd, let's wrap this up. If you had the lever to, okay, first of all, you're young. Yeah, I mean, you got a lifetime ahead of you, 40, 50, 60 years of this. What is it that if you could look back on and say, man, that was that's my legacy. What is it right? I know you're a work in progress. You say yes to everything, but you know what? First of all, what lever right now is there anything in your stumbling block that somebody could help you with? And number two, 50 years from now, what will be, if you even imagine that, what's your legacy?
Yeah, that's good. I would say, honestly, I would say my lever or something that's catching me up or a stumble block is just lack of experience. It's lack of conversating, lack of talking with people who are really successful in the nonprofit world, in the giving world. And what is that? Because that's, again, I mean, I could tell you growing up, Jerome Bettis was the best running back. I could go pop his tape into the VCR, and I could go to his football camp, and I could study him. And then from there, I can create who I am from understanding from the greatest. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, I understand, yes.
And so where I'm at now, it's who is a physical man that I can talk to or a woman that I can talk to who's physically the best at the craft and learn. And then from there, be able to be sat in my boat and say, go ahead and create your new world flood. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That would be the ultimate. And I would say for 50 years from now, my goal, or I guess my legacy, I would say, would that it's sustainable, that it doesn't get corrupted by people, by greed. And the purpose and the mission of what my parents were born and raised for, that is still a high priority in the organization as they continue to give and serve. And if those principles, if those laws, those cores stay true, then I will be very, very, very happy because the whole purpose, the whole point of the organization is a single drop at the beginning of a flood. So that would need one person, even if it's one person a day, a year, I know that they'll go off and they'll affect millions of lives. So as long as that foundation is still following the rules and the regulations of what it was created for, I will be happy. Because at the same time, if it is doing what it is now in 50 years, it will be an example for anyone who has lost a piece of them. It'll be an example of there is another side, there is more, and it doesn't cost you a dollar except the time that you feel to go.
Hey, Eric, why don't you try 3711 just to see if they're there? Eric, are you there? Okay, I got the signal from Eric. We're going to wrap this up. Todd, this has been one of the things about this show, and maybe you want to talk to Eric about you got a great message. The on EasyWayBroadcasting.com, we put together this program because of what the nonprofits I'm involved in. But you know, when you mentioned to me on when we spoke the other day, you said, you know, like today, it's Super Bowl Sunday. There's going to be players that are going to be getting, I don't know what they get as a bonus, $180,000, $100,000. I have no idea what it is. It's extra money. Did you ever think, and here I go again, Eric is probably going to be mad because I'm extending it. Did you ever think of maybe setting up a nonprofit advisory program for professional athletes? Now, everybody, Todd, I'm sure when you signed a contract, you had every agent and every money manager and everybody who had their hand out on the planet knocking on your door. Have you ever thought that maybe part of that package should be, okay, you know, so you just signed a $40 million contract. Have you thought about the legacy? And what do you need to do?
To be honest, yes, I do. I know exactly what I would do because it's stuff that I would have done, and it's easy. Right. And I do know, but at the same time, it's me. It's me by myself, and I can't. I don't have enough time. I don't have – especially if I want to be efficient at what I'm doing too.
Right.
Yeah, man, I would love to have – yes, I have an amazing plan of something that professional athletes don't have – that will definitely change the way that they spend their checks, guaranteed.
Yes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it, a true humanitarian, somebody who basically out of his sort of dark night of the soul, and he resurrected himself like the Phoenix Bird, and out here he is now, Todd Duckett, philanthropist, humanitarian. His New World Floods, Little Drops Turn Into Floods, involved in so many different programs, from shaving up beards for research and mentoring kids and in the schools, and I don't think we even touched it. Todd, if someone wants information on you, where do they go? Give a website and all that.
It's newworldflood.org, spelled out newworldflood.org. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. I'm Todd Duckett at newworldflood.org. And I guess in closing, the only thing I would say is do something. Help somebody tomorrow.
Great words. By the way, you have one hell of a career. Excuse the language. One heck of a career. And now it looks like the second half. And the way you sound right now, and the enthusiasm and the unbelievable way that you're expressing it out there with the excitement, is that you found your true self. The second half is going to be outstanding.
It's gonna be exactly what it's meant to be.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Todd Duckett, you know how to reach him. New World Flood, newworldflood.org. You can go into the site. Get involved. I'm sure Todd has places. If you don't know where to get involved, you can contact someone like Todd, and he'll direct you how to get involved in something. Just get off the couch and do it, because when you give back, you feel phenomenal when you get back.
Great.
And so
you're
get
great.
More out of it than you ever could possibly give. And if you've got the money and you don't have the time, believe me, Todd won't turn that down either. But if you've got the talent, time, and treasure, that's the wholeness in terms of giving. And Todd can also, if you have questions on giving to nonprofits, using Todd as a resource, sometimes we get a little bit afraid of what nonprofit we're giving to. Todd can walk you through the ABCs of how to give away money and making sure that the money goes to where it's supposed to go.
Yes.
So I know that's always a concern. All right, Todd, I'll let you go back to the you probably never watched the game today, but
we don't stop working. We're planning a summer 6-week program, so we don't stop. We can't stop.
Right.
Won't stop.
Right.
Easy way.
Wait. I think we got a speaker on 3080. Is that right, Eric? Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
You're on.
Hi, my name is Ryan. I tried to get through earlier. I couldn't.
Okay. All right.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
What's up, TJ? I'm loving the show, man. I was actually Googling charity stuff and charity humanitarians, and I saw this show. So whoever's doing the Googling on there, good job,
nice,
man. You
nice,
know?
Nice. Thank you, man. It's fun.
Where are you from? Where are you from, caller?
I'm from Riverside.
Okay, Riverside, and are you involved in any nonprofits? You giving back any in involved in anything?
Not really. No, well, I mean I just raise money for movies, more profit stuff.
All right, well maybe we can motivate you by getting involved with Todd. And Todd just told you how to contact him at newworldflood.org, and there's one you can get. I mean, Todd needs some representatives on the West Coast. So that would maybe
you're the guy. That'd be cool, for sure. I was going to say with what you guys are doing out there, anytime you want to do anything here in the East Lansing area, feel free, man. We'd love to have visitors, and I'm sure you guys have stories that young men and young women here would love to hear.
Absolutely.
For sure, yeah, definitely. How do I connect with you?
It's Todd@newworldflood.org. That'd probably be the easiest way.
Todd@newworldflood.org?
Yep, .org, yep.
Okay,
New
for
World
sure.
Flood. So New World Flood, all together.
Yep.
So that, and the word flood is on there. So that's
yep.
why Todd
and,
at New World Flood.
And I mean, and if I'm on Twitter too @DuckD's, if that helps.
Okay, for sure. Okay, I'll remember that. And I heard about you, Rick. Do you do any high schools at all? Have you been at high schools and?
Yeah, events and stuff. Right. I'm on the advisory committee with Jefferson High School in LA. So I know a lot about it, and with the Academy of Business Leadership, we get involved in a number of inner city high schools, and we develop business plans and actually have these kids. Now, here's one for you, Todd. We actually develop where we bring kids in from they come from some challenged backgrounds, and we bring them in, and some of them are age 12, 13, 14, and we set them up with strangers from other schools, and we tell them come up with a business plan and
Very
come
important.
Up with a marketing
That's
plan.
Great.
It's amazing.
Very important. That's awesome.
Yeah. And you can reach me on the easywaybroadcasting.com on the Rosin Experience. That's how you can reach me.
Yes, for sure. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Awesome show.
All right.
Hey,
thanks. Hey, have a great day, and thanks for calling. All right, Todd.
Bye, Todd.
That's it. That's it today, Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a rock star on here, Todd Duckett and his organization and what he's doing. And just gives the show one person. And we'll close the show like this, and I think Todd will agree. I shared this one with you, Todd, where the grandfather and the grandson were walking along the beach.
Yeah.
And it was after a major storm, and starfish had been washed up on the beach. And, of course, if they stay out in the sun, they will die. And this little boy was picking up a starfish, and there must have been a zillion of them, and he's putting them in the water. And his grandfather said, that's not going to make a difference. You got 9 million starfish here. And the little boy held up one starfish and said, Grandpa, to this starfish, it's all the difference in the world. So that's our mantra. That's our job. That's our motivation is one thing great to give back, and it will start a chain reaction of which you have no consequence, no idea of where it will go. You have no idea how far it will go, how many people it will reach. I love your example, Todd, about picking up trash. I do
that.
I go out there and I see a piece of paper, I pick it up, and people look at me and go, why did you do that? Because somebody has to.
and since they saw it, now they do it.
Exactly. Todd, thank you so much for
having me. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, folks. You heard it today. We had Todd Duckett, NFL superstar, as well as philanthropist, humanitarian. You can reach him at newworldflood.org or Todd@newworldflood.org and basically get involved. And that's what Todd did. Todd made a choice and got involved. and got out there, and you hear the number of things that he's involved in. And he's one person, and you heard him. He's so busy that and he's trying to do so many things to make a difference back there in Michigan and beyond. Okay, let's close the show. First of all, our next speaker is looking like it's going to be the principal and the guidance counselor from Jefferson High School. And we have them on for next Sunday. And so you're going to hear somebody who's on the ground and involved with children's lives and how the challenges of an inner city school. So that's where we're going. We're going to have Sam Beard coming up from the Jefferson Foundation. We're going to have Ruben Barajas come up from the Scott Newman Foundation. So we're going to have those speakers all lined up for the next few weeks. Personally, I still have the Roz Experience every Sunday, 4 o'clock, on the EasyWayBroadcasting.com. All you have to do is go to info@EasyWayBroadcasting.com, and you can see how to reach us. That's what we're up to. If anyone out there is looking for someone who wants to have somebody come out and talk and do a motivational speech, that type of thing, again, there's no commercials here. We come out and talk about how to give back. Please reach us through Eric Zuehle at EasyWayBroadcasting.com or the Rosman Experience, and we'd be more than happy to come out and tell the story to any group out there, because when you tell a story like we're telling, you have no idea where it's going to go. Many people right now are wondering, gee, what do I do? How do I get back? The kids are grown, and now they have folks have time on their hands. They can give a portion of that time and get involved in a nonprofit and how to get back, and we're more than happy to do that. So we have that going on, the show going on. We have the motivational programs going on. Number of my nonprofits, May 11th, the Step for Education LA program is going to have their fundraiser. April 11th, the Osmula Foundation is going to have their gala out at the Biltmore. The Step Pro program is going to have theirs right at Holy Name of Jesus Grammar School in South Central LA. Promises to be a home run. We're going to have guests, because of the chairman of the board is Roy Brewer from Sony. We have some great auction items and some great programs, and you got to see it on the ground about how we influence the kids. In the Osmo Foundation coming up on April 11th, Saturday at the Biltmore, Rick Eisen is going to be the MC. Promises to be a dynamite program about how we actually opened the school in Nigeria to help widows and orphans cope with the AIDS epidemic. Again, saying yes. And you'll hear all that, and plus there'll be a lot of NFL stars, and there'll be a lot of great celebrities there. There'll be a lot of great celebrities at the STEP program. And there's a lot of things going on, so we'll keep a menu going out here in L.A. We'd love to have you out at any of these. Please, again, reach us at theeasywaybroadcasting.com, the Rosman Experience. Go to rickrosman.com, and you can see the things that we're up to. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had one hell of a show. I hate to use that word, but it has been great today. Yes, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Todd Duckett, what a guest. And wait to hear what we have coming up next for the next few speakers, as I said. Every week this is getting better. Ladies and gentlemen, my challenge to you right now is sit down and say, how am I going to make a difference in the life of someone else this week without expecting anything in return? Do it. I guarantee you, you will feel better about yourself, you'll feel better for what you do, and guess what? It might change your life. All right, this is Rick Rosman signing off on the Rosman Experience. Love you all. Have a great day. I'm going to go now and watch the rest of the Super Bowl, and I hope you do too, but have a wonderful week. Get out there, get involved, give back. God bless. Bye-bye.